Let's open a word of prayer, and then I'll give you a little story about the shade, and then we can continue. How's that? And what's your name? Isaiah. Isaiah committed to give some hair for me, so I'm very thankful, Isaiah. Let's open a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God and Father, we do bless Thee and thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that we could be here today to open the Scriptures and to learn the principles of what we have regarding Christ and the Assembly. We're thankful for the first lecture. We pray Thy blessings upon what will be uttered right now, that it will be by the help of the Spirit of God, as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So before we start, don't call me Tom Cruise. And with all my respect, not even President Biden, because they have the same shade. I recognize. I will take them off once I start reading. But in reality, I had an allergic reaction yesterday because snow peas raw gives me that allergic reaction. So I forgot, and I had a couple. So yesterday, I couldn't see. But today, thankfully, I could see. So for those that are newly married, that's what we normally say when our wives are upset with us. So you know what I'm saying? You are disciplined, but we say it was allergic reaction. But the reality of it is that this is a very important, now I will take them off. Don't look too much into me. But the reality is we talk much about this wonderful assembly. And by the help of the Lord, we're going to discuss the next one, please. The gathering of the saints. I recognize one thing when Brother Brian was here and he was quoting assemblies about independency and interdependency. He didn't mention Wayne. So, dear brethren, if you are from Clark, don't take it personal. I'm not going to mention Clark. But the reality, it is a wonderful, most wonderful truth that we can obtain, that we can gain. And this afternoon or this session, we're going to discuss the gathering. And you would say to yourself, what is so important about gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus? I would like to read a verse that is not on your verses here, but I would like to start by reading this verse because I want to bring the principles that are also important for the truth of gathering, even to understand God's desire, even from the Old Testament. Although we have said that the assembly of God was something hid in God. So nobody knew about it. Nobody thought about it. In the Old Testament, no prophet prophesied about it. No one recorded anything in the Old Testament concerning the church of the living God. Nobody. Except when the Lord Jesus said, and come, I will build my assembly. That's where this wonderful assembly start coming to view. But the thought of gathering is very important for me to understand the mind of God in relationship to His wonderful purpose of gathering things together, especially when we come to this verse that you have it over there. I'm not going to go through the verses of the slides all the time, but I'm going to quote things as we go. You have the slides, you have the booklet. Please look at them at your own leisure, so that it's not only sufficient these four sessions. You need to search the Scriptures daily to see whatever brothers have provided you with are according to the Word of God. Anything that comes from man, it is unacceptable. But anything that comes from the Word of God, we should take it in and hide it and keep it. Okay? Agreed? Okay. So the first thing, the verse I want to read is from Psalm 50 and verse 5. It's you can turn to it, and I'm going to put just the Bible down so that I'm moving around. So that says that gather my saints unto me, those that made a covenant because of what? Of His sacrifice, by the sacrifice. But gather my saints. We have heard earlier, the first lecture, that a believer is called a saint. Now, I want you all to understand this thought. Holy, sanctified, and saint, they are all from the same root word. So when you think and read in the Bible, you see these three words. This means that we are set apart for the blessed God. What a privilege that God in His goodness, He said, I'm going to set apart these individuals for my own delight and for my own pleasure. Can we understand it? No. Can you fathom it? No. But we are thankful that God has done this. So when it comes to the truth of gathering, God from the beginning of the Bible had every thought and every desire that he will gather things together. The only thing that we did not understand in the Old Testament, that his ultimate desire is that there will be a gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to discuss. But I want to bring a few verses from the Old Testament to cause you to appreciate the Word of God, that the Old Testament and the New Testament are in full harmony regarding what God has purposed. Okay? So when you go to the beginning of the Bible, and you will go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, you would say, well, Brother John, that's the chapter of creation. Well, that's true. You're right 100%. But I want you to think that the truth of creation has also another moral truth in the sight of God. God does not only give me a type, does not only give me a history, does not only give me the days of creation, but when God have created things in his mind and in his purpose, he had something greater than the creation. Like who? Like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Lord, as far as the scripture is concerned, he is known as being the Son of Righteousness. Not S-O-N, but S-U-N. It says in Malachi, when the Son of Righteousness shall appear and there is healing under his wings. So Son is part of the creation. But in the mind of God, the S-U-N speaks morally of the Lord Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? As something that he created, but it's something that reminds him also of the Lord Jesus. When he was on the Transfiguration Mountain, what happened? It says, and his face became radiant as what? As the light of the sun. Again, the thought of creation that comes in relationship to the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, as God has commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone where? So, he commanded light to shine out of darkness, that's creation. But what happened morally? Has shone in our hearts. So the first day, God deals with separation. Now I want to bring the gathering on the line of what we have here. But it's very important to understand, as I come to this verse, how God, from the beginning of the Bible, has put things together. The first day, it was light and darkness. What did God do? What did God do with the light and darkness? He separated them. That God, from the first day of creation, he made sure to separate foreign elements. Means believers and unbelievers, they don't mix together. So for me to take the world in and come to be gathered to the name of Christ, it doesn't work. Maybe it works at your own work. Maybe you have a certain theory. I don't know. But to mix things that are foreign to the people of God, and then you come to the truth of gathered to his name, it doesn't work as far as God is concerned. So the first day, what God does? It says the first day he separated what? Light and darkness. He separated foreign elements. Means things that don't have the same nature. Because Paul takes it as far as 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says, what communion have what? Light and darkness. There is none. The second day, it was said that God made another day of separation. But what's the difference between the first day and the second day? You would say to yourself. The first day, light and darkness, they don't mix together. But the second day, he made a separation from water and water, from common element. The first day was foreign. Light and darkness, they don't mix. But the second day, it was he separated waters from waters, means a common element. And sometimes for me to come on the ground of gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, I have to have this principle in my mind that I have to separate from the things of this world, things that are foreign to the nature of the believer, to the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes that is the saddest thing in the history of Christianity, that sometimes I have to separate from a common element, from somebody who is called a brother, from somebody that is called a sister, from somebody that is called, you know, a gathering of saints, because I want to be in the good of gathering to his name and his name alone. So the first day it was foreign element. They cannot be here and on the ground of gathered to his name. The second day on the ground of something common, we have the same nature. It's like Abraham told Lot. What did he tell Lot? When there was something difficult, he says, listen, we are what? The first thing that Abraham says, he said what? We are brethren. And that's why we are brethren, the small b. We are brethren, but if you turn to the right, I will turn where? To the left. Abraham understood that there is a time in the history that him and Lot cannot walk together for now, but Lot was a righteous man. Abraham was a friend of God, and they will be all together in glory one day. Amen? Amen. I'm taking amen from Brian. Amen. I'm going to say agree. So what happened with the gathering? When did the gathering, God deals with it on the day of creation? So first day separation, the second day of separation. What happened on the third day? Oh, that third day of resurrection. And I want to start with that third day of resurrection. The earth is coming out from the sea on the third day of creation, right? Now I want you to have value for what God is doing. So here comes the earth from the sea. It's rising up. And God, it says, on the third day, He brought the earth from amongst the sea, right? That's the thought of resurrection. And it is from that thought of, from that day, the scripture says, and He gathered together the water into one place. When did the gathering appear? Third day. Third day. On what ground? After resurrection, the third day of the resurrection. So that when I go to Genesis 29, I want you to take hold of the desire of God first. For me to enter into it and you don't see the desire and the pleasure of God of being gathered to His name, you're not going to appreciate it. So that when we go to Genesis 49, there is a verse over there when Jacob was blessing Judah, he says, but one until Shiloh comes and the gathering of the people shall be unto who? Unto him. And you go to Numbers 21. Wonderful chapter, a chapter in the wilderness. And here comes the Lord Jesus and here comes Jehovah and says, gather my people together and I will give them water to drink. So the thought of gathering together was always in the mind of God. And when we speak about, Brother Brian mentioned Virginia, we took 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And one of the things it says, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. Where did they get the water? From the rock. And what did the Apostle Paul say? And the rock was Christ. And that rock followed them. Now, could you imagine a rock following the people of God? In the mind of God, he was thinking of Christ. But they all drank from Christ. So the source of the gathering is always goes back to Christ. And this is why we have these wonderful verses in the New Testament. Gathered to my name, there am I in the midst. What does it mean to my name? I want you, when you see a verse, to just sit back. You know, no wonder in the book of Psalms, when you read a nice psalm, the Spirit of God says, Selah. You know what Selah means? What does Selah mean? Somebody help me, because I'm getting old and I have senior moments. Rest, pause, meditate, pause, slow it down, understand what you're reading. So when the scripture gives us a verse, I don't read a name of what name he's talking about. Do you read the name? Maybe I'm not seeing. Do you read the name? Which name of the Lord Jesus there? Just name. I don't read any. Like I don't read if you met in the name of Jesus. I don't read it. All what I read is gathered to my name. That's all I read. Although in the Bible, when you go to Isaiah 9, even the Old Testament, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Counselor. Wonderful. They are name. They are not names. One name. One divine person, one person. So there are name. When you come to the New Testament, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then later on, it says, it shall be called Emmanuel because God is with us. But when I come to that verse, I don't read anything about what name we are gathered to. Why is it? Because God wants me to understand that when I speak of a name or when I think of a person, it entails everything that is in this person. It brings to me the character and the offices of this person. For example, it's very simple. When you mention a name of, let's just say President Biden, right away you think of the President of the United States. You think of his office as well. You think of his position. Who is he? It is the same thing in the sight of God that when I think of the name of the Lord Jesus, It doesn't mean the name Jesus with all the reverence and respect to it. But it means that from God's thought, that everything that entails with this blessed person of the Lord Jesus should be included in that gathering that we're talking about. So, for example, when the Apostle Paul says they came to him in Acts chapter 16, the Philippians jailer is asking him, what must I do to believe in the Lord Jesus? What must I do to be saved? What did he tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say believe in Jesus. He didn't say believe in Christ. He said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This means that these every aspect that belongs to Christ should be seen on the ground of gathering. So when I gather to him, this means his lordship, because that's he is Lord. We spoke about the assembly and we read the verses in Ephesians, Colossians, how he is head of the assembly. He gives this nourishment and direction, right, as a head. But when it comes to you and me coming into that truth of things, he is a Lord. Means that if I want to claim the gathering to his name, it is better that individually, I am in the good of owning his rights. Means I submit to whatever the Lord said. Whatever the Lord said. It's not what man said. He is the center of attraction. Some brothers of the older days, they brought seven divine things into this verse, but that's not my subject, but go look for it. Whether the divine ground, whether the divine testimony, whether all these wonderful things. But in order for me to claim from a scriptural perspective that I'm gathered to his name, that everything that entailed this blessed person, the truth, the doctrine of Christ, the Apostle Paul says, the doctrine of Christ, everything that relates to the person of the Lord Jesus should be in that ground that we are talking about. It is not only that I come as a Christian. No. Everybody could come on as a Christian. But I need to understand that when I'm gathered to his name, that he's got rights. And where is his rights? His rights not only in the individual, but his rights amongst the company. So when I say his rights means there are certain principles should be seen publicly and practiced by the saints of God in order for me to display the truth of gathering to his name. Means he has the final authority in the gathering. Not a man. We're not going to talk about denominations, brethren. So this is set aside. Because as believers, a lot of them love the Lord deeply. And we thank God for that. I'm just going to stick with the principles and the word of God. So what are these principles of gathered to his name? His lordship needs to be observed by each one of us. Whatever he says goes. If he said, you know what, we have heard about cultural differences. If the Lord said, you stand, we stand. It becomes common, right? But the Lord gave us a measure of truth in relationship of being gathered to his name. It's not a denomination. When we come together as saints, I'm going to mention Clark. I'm going to be merciful. Although Brother Brian didn't mention Wayne. But if we are gathered in Clark, we are gathered on Clark not because we are a denomination. We belong to Colonia Chapel. We don't belong to any doctrine. We don't belong to any creed. We don't belong to any pastor, to any individual. We belong to Christ. Brother Brian had an experience on when people came and told him, you know, how do you gather? Our experiences are different. When people ask me, he says, who's your pastor? I say, the Lord Jesus. And who's your leader? I mean, who is heading the company? Well, the Lord Jesus. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion becomes when people ask questions, the best way to come to a conclusion, come and see. Where abidest thou? You know, these two disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 1, they came, they followed the Lord Jesus, and they asked him one question. Where abidest thou? And people might ask you, how do you mean, what do you mean how we gathered? And now we're going to put the second slide for me, please. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and the sisters and the Spirit of God, and everybody gets up, gives thanks, the other ones sit down. What kind of business is this? Well, we want to see it in light of the Scripture. What kind of business is it? So gathering to the ground of the name of the Lord Jesus, it entails everything that belongs to him. So in the second slide, you would see that we don't come assigned how we're going to worship. Let me tell you, everything pertains to Christianity. Please take hold of that thought. Everything that pertains to Christianity, man has not a single thing in it. Even the principle of God from the Old Testament. When he built the tabernacle, what he said to Moses? You do it, you build it, according to the measurements that I give you. Not according to what you think, Moses. Moses was the first man that is recorded being the man of God. He has a psalm called Psalm 90. It is to Moses, the man of God. But the man of God has no right to add anything to the tabernacle. Then he wants to build an altar. He said, make sure that there is nothing of man upon this altar. You do it according to what I tell you. And here comes the light of New Testament. And the apostle, not the apostle. The Lord Jesus said to his own, he said to who? To Peter and John. He says, go prepare the Passover to eat. And he said, ye shall go unto an upper man. You're going to follow a man with a pitcher of water. You tell him, you know what? The master wants to have the Passover. Where's the guest chamber? And he said, he shall lead you into a room that is what? You bring the furniture with you? No. You bring you into a room that is furnished already. Christianity, dear saints, dear young ones, it's furnished already. There is no principle should be brought into Christianity, into the gathering, that is a man-made thing. It is only God who has the absolute right to tell me how to gather and how to function. So how are we going to function to go through it quickly? This is where the Spirit of God is brought to light. Some people says, you need to schedule something together. Have a program. You might kiss it goodbye, this thing. Okay. Have a program so that when we come, we know what we're going to do. Is that Christianity? You know, the difficulty I have when I was young, I had to come to a conclusion that the one who was competent to save my soul eternally is not competent to lead the company. And the Spirit of God, who is a divine person, co-equal with the Father and the Son, is not competent, is not able, is not capable of leading the company, that I need to assign things, I need to put a program, I need to say how we're going to worship and what to say and what songs we should sing. No. At your own leisure, you go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but also the other references. You have plenty of references that it is there for you. The saints of God, when they are gathered to the name of the Christ, there is a manifestation of the Spirit. How am I manifesting the Spirit? The Spirit is within me. Who sees the Spirit? Nobody. But how am I manifesting the Spirit? I am manifesting the Spirit of God by the way we are gathered and we are behaving and we are worshiping and we are praying and we are doing all these wonderful things. That even the Apostle Paul says, you know what, aside of the speaking of tongues, that somebody can come inside and witness what's going on, will come to the conclusion is God is in the midst of them. How do I manifest it? I manifest it by allowing the Spirit of God to have full control over the company. This means I don't come saying, you know, tomorrow morning, Brother Tony, I'm going to open up the meeting with him 283. It's already, I have it here. I prescribed it. I'm going to set the tone. All these thoughts. No. We go and we wait on the Spirit of God to see what the Spirit of God has for us. It's the reverse. 1 Corinthians 12 is a wonderful chapter to see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. But I want to give you a verse from the Old Testament because I really believe there is a harmony. Apart from the church of the living God and apart from the indwelling of the Spirit of God was the privilege of the Christian or the assembly in the present time, there are many things that are in common. When in Exodus chapter 10, now listen this. This is where the leading of the Spirit of God that he does everything in order. Forget the flesh. I don't want to talk about activity of our flesh, okay? We have heard it already. We have weakness. Yes, we do have weakness. We have the flesh sometimes. Yes, we bow. Yes, it is 200%. We are not perfect. Amen to it. That's a loud amen. We're not perfect. Do we bring sometimes human elements? Yes. But forget all what you can bring and I can bring. We might bring things that are foreign to the Word of God. And we thank God that the Spirit of God will, that indwells us, will not bring them above the ceiling. You understand what I'm trying to say? Will not bring them above the ceiling because it is not according to the mind of God. But there is a verse that always touches me, even when I was your age. That is found in Exodus chapter 10. Here's the Pharaoh is trying to make Moses to compromise his worship, to compromise the way that he should serve the Lord Jehovah. And he's saying, listen, for a few times he says, you go, you men go, but leave your children, leave your wives, and leave the flock here. He says, no, 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 we all go. He tried something else. Satan is in the business of compromising. Don't compromise the truth of the principles of Christ and the assembly. Never compromise it. Stand by them. The scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. If you have brought into the truth of God, please don't sell it. Means give it up. Never give up. Although there is weakness, although there is failures, never give up. Because God, regardless of whatever weakness there is amongst the saints of God, He desires us to continue that pathway of what the principles are until we reach heaven. So Moses said, listen, Pharaoh, let me give you the conclusion of the whole matter. For we don't know. Listen to these words carefully. Look for them in Exodus chapter 10. I don't like to give verses, but maybe I'll sneak this one. Maybe verse 26. He says, for we don't know how to serve the Lord. That word serve has element in it how to worship the Lord. For we don't know how we serve the Lord until, what did he say? Until we get there. Moses, what do you mean until you get there? You got instructions. The Lord, you know, you are the man who's going to tell you about the tabernacle until then. But the principle remains the same. We don't know how we are going to worship or serve the Lord until we get there. Let me tell you about the leading of the Spirit of God. He is a divine person. He's competent to lead us into what is the mind of God is. When we come together to remember the Lord, to break bread, other brethren will talk about these things, to worship, even to pray together. The Spirit of God, He says, listen, if you think that you know it all, you are mistaken, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for we know not what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. Some brethren will sit here and they will act like they know exactly how to pray, yet the Scripture says we don't know how to pray. But where? The Spirit of God that indwells us. It is the Spirit of God who knows the depth of God and He knows the depth of man. And that's how the Spirit of God will lead the company. We don't know how to worship the Lord until we get there. And this is where we allow the Spirit of God. Not a man, not one person. Why is it? It is. Okay, I want to be careful not to say anything about a man, because that man loves the Lord. Why is it that we are not with a system of things? System of things, I think that's better. System of things, because when man establishes a system, it takes away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is it that we have to allow the Spirit of God to lead the company? The next slide, please. Is one of the biggest reasons that Christians have no idea who they are is that they know that I am a priest in the sight of God. And dear sisters, young sisters, that thought of priesthood, we're going to discuss a little bit about what a priest is, that thought of priesthood is not only the privilege of who? Of dear brothers. It's not only the privilege of dear brothers, it is the privilege of every believer in Christ Jesus. This means whether you are a brother or you are a sister, as far as God is concerned, He made us, again, like there are plenty of references, He made us a kingdom altogether, a kingdom of priests. But I want to discuss this holy and royal priesthood because it's important. It breaks my heart, I'm going to tell you. Never leave a meeting that is gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving Him His rightful place in the midst of the company. We're not going to meet around the man. We're not going to meet around the system. We're not going to meet around the creed. But never give it up despite failures. You know what breaks my heart? I can never understand the honest truth. The Lord knows. When somebody leaves the gathering and they give up every privilege that God has given them. What do you mean giving up? Yes, you gave it up. You are a priest means you have a liberty at any given time to enter into the presence of God. But let's talk about the gathering now. Let's talk about as we are together as an assembly. As an assembly, the brother, of course, we're going to come to that part of the dear sisters. But how wonderful the sisters encourage brothers to take the vocal place, the vocal aspect of it. Because the sisters, as far as 1 Corinthians 14, the other brother will come to it. Whatever questions we might address is let the woman keep in silence in the assembly. But you are still a priest. You can enter into the presence of God at any time. Even in the assembly, in a quiet way, you can be a priest in the presence of God. But when we are gathered together, dear brother, young brother, in a public arena, in a public setting, you are a priest. You have every right, as far as the scripture is concerned, to enter into the presence of God. How do I enter into the presence of God? You know, you cannot enter into him as a priest only. It has to be on the line of holy priesthood. You'd say to yourself, why? Why is God giving me this holy priesthood? And then we're going to discuss quickly royal priesthood. My phone is not with me. What time is it, Brother Brian? No, I want to stick with the time. 10 to 12, and I have till. Amen, amen. But I would like to know the time, because I don't want to be stoned after the meeting. Oh, thank you. Till 12? So 10 minutes. So we have to wrap it in 10 minutes. So why is it the holy priesthood? Because listen, if there is anything and anyone that's going to enter into the presence of God, it has to be on the very line of what God is in his nature. Because I am holy. What's the exhortation? Be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. So my dear sister, my dear brother, when you come into the presence of the Lord, the presence of God, you enter into it as being a holy priest. Because why? You want to be able to come into the presence of a holy God. And in order for you to come into the presence of a holy God, you have to approach him on holy ground. This is why when Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 3, he came to a place where God dwelling in the bush. What's the first words the Lord told him? Take thy shoes off your feet, because the ground that thou standest on is what? A holy ground. So you want to approach me? You approach me upon what is holy in my eyes. I always say, what's the difference between your shoes and your feet? You've been in the desert all day. The dust that occupied the shoes is the same dust that occupied your feet. What is God telling Moses? No man-made thing. The shoes was a man-made thing. That's the secret behind it. The shoes was a man-made thing. The feet is God-made thing. And that is why you take your shoes off your feet. Means when I enter into the presence of God, I enter into his presence, acknowledging that he is holy, I come as a holy priest. And there is nothing of man can enter into that holiest place. Nothing of man. You know, when you come to the holiest of all, and we have exhausted, I want you to understand this. And I'm sorry if we cannot cover everything, but as the brother says, we can only whet your appetite and for you to dig deeper. I want you to see the grace of God. What's your name? Timothy. That made Timothy a priest. You know Christ as Savior, right? That made Timothy a priest. Now, in the Old Testament, how did the priesthood work in the Old Testament? There was, God called out, when we say the ecclesia, the greatness of that ecclesia, it's not the act of the calling out, because he called out, from Egypt have I called my son. But it is Gentiles and Jews together. It is a remarkable thought of God that He called them out. But when you think of the priest in the Old Testament, how was the priest to function? Was everyone a priest? No. That was God's mind at one moment that all will be priests. But the failure of man comes in. But look at this. How many tribes there were in Israel? What was who, and how many tribes He chose to be a priest and Levi? One. Which is what? Which tribe? And out of the wonderful tribe of Levi, how many families were the priests? One. Which family was it? Aaron and his family and his sons. His sons. So now think of it. Thank God for the grace we are brought into. A nation, 12 tribes, one tribe, one family. And how many people entered into the holiest of all? Now you're seeing how it's getting smaller and smaller. How many people entered into the holiest of all? How many? One. Who could enter into it? The high priest. When? Anytime he wants? You know what? Anytime I want to enter. No. These things were foreign to the Old Testament saints. He couldn't go into the holiest anytime he wants. He couldn't approach God 24/7. He couldn't walk into that place 24/7. But the Christian company, the privilege that you have, listen, it's not anymore one family, it's the whole family of God. It is not anymore just a one man that enters into the holiest. Every single one of them that know Christ as personal Savior, we have the privilege to enter into the holiest of all. And no wonder this wonderful hymn of hymn number 59, the merits of the Lord appear, they fill the holy place. That's what I see when I get into. But I am a holy priest and I enter into because God is holy. That's the ground I enter into His presence. But you are a royal priest. Listen, you better put your act together. You know, it was said in the book of Acts chapter 4 that they took notice they had been with who? With the Lord Jesus. Why? They spoke His language. They behaved like Him. Even when you go to Antioch, it says, and the disciples were called what? Christians. You know what? They didn't call themselves. They were called Christians. Why is it? They saw Christ in them. So you enter into as a holy priest. But you get out as a royal priest. And when I say put your act together, that with the gathering to the ground of the Lord Jesus, there is the sense of responsibility that comes from my side. It's a privilege, you know. With the privilege, there's always what? So you have the privilege of, you know, that driving license is a privilege. Although, like Brother Brian said, you might go to different states. They have a different age. That's okay. But it's the same privilege. But with the privilege, you can speed 90. Or you can go. I used to speed 90 because I thought the number 90 blue was the speed limit. But it wasn't the speed limit. The police convinced me it's not the speed limit. But the reality of it, when you get out in the royal, you better put your life together. Because you know what happens in the royal priesthood? It's something to present before man. That, oh, I enjoyed my presence as a holy priest in the sight of God. And now I'm stepping out as a brother and a sister as a royal priest. Let me give you the most perfect example. Wow, I still have 5 minutes. Let me give you the perfect example. I always believe you stand on the side of the sisters, the winning side. Always stand by the sisters. I always believe, at least just seriousness, when I want to learn a truth of gathering, of worship, of holy priest, of royal priest, I can find it in a sister that lived in the time of the Lord Jesus. Believe it or not. When the Lord wanted to make worship to Father known, who did He tell? Who did He tell? That the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He spoke it to a sister. And when the Lord in resurrection, He wanted to, you know, attract his own and tell him that I am risen. Who did He give this message to? Oh, go tell my brethren. Who was it? A sister. And I want to tell you, if you want to learn how to be a holy priest and how to be a royal priest, learn it also from a sister. And I want to draw your attention to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I know there was a man sitting at the table, fellowship. And I know that Martha served without complaining. We served the Lord. But there was a sister that was teaching John Ajami what worship is all about. What's worship all about? Is it about me? When I go to the holiest of all to worship, is it about me? It's not about me. Is it about my sins and my failures and all what? Nothing at all. It's all about Him. That's why if I learned something from her as a holy priest, she came at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That's what gave her the right to be at the feet of Christ. She was a holy priest as a sister, and she broke this alabaster box. The scripture says it was very costly. Listen, young brother, I'm sure your sister, your wife, whoever it is, your mother will support you, will push you, will encourage you. Don't come into the presence of the Lord empty. You bring something. As we have heard by way of exhortation, it's wonderful to hear so many prayers this morning. They don't have to be long, short and sweet. You tell me one ceremony, one ministry, one prayer in the Bible that took 10, 15 minutes. Show me one in the Bible. And I would say, okay, brother, you can go 10, 15 minutes. I never seen it. Even the prayers that we talk about, the prayers of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and other places. Well, if you put them together, if you are reading them, it might take you 1 minute. But here's a sister. Wonderful act of worship. She brings the alabaster box. Come into the presence of the Lord having something to offer. You know, the wise men, they came, you know, they came from the east. We don't know how many of them were there. But you know what? They were prepared. There was the gold with them. There was the myrrh and there was the frankincense. And when they came into the presence of this holy child, they offered. They were prepared. Don't let Saturday night idle things take away from having yourself in the presence of God to glean something so that you can put it at His feet. So if I want to learn a holy priest, this is a sister that came on the ground of holiness at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And what did she do? She broke the alabaster box. And the smell, what happened with the smell? It filled the whole house. But let me ask you a question. Do you know she was a royal priest? How do I know she was a royal priest? I'm just talking by way of something we can learn morally from his sister. Let me tell you, that hair of hers that broke the alabaster box and wiped his feet with her hair, I can assure you, based on my feeling before the Lord, that when this woman walked in the streets of Bethany, when she walked at that time, when she walked in the streets of Bethany, people smelled the aroma of it. That's a royal priest. I broke it into his presence. But the effect of it, that even when she stepped outside, whoo, what a beautiful smell. She came out as a royal priest to speak of all the marvelous works of God, the one who transferred us from darkness into his marvelous light. And the last kid, the last one, you can take it in by yourself because time is up. We want to maintain the time. But here the priesthood, what's the next one? The last one, the fourth. Is that the last one? Here there is. So I'm just going to say, brethren, we don't need any person. Could I bring a thought? Oh, it might be a little negative, but it's not negative. Because we are told that Christ might be conformed in us to be like Christ. You know that as far as I know, there are three things recorded about the Lord that he hates, that I know of. Maybe brethren will bring more, but I don't know. I know of three. When you go to Hebrews 1, loved righteousness, hates what? He hates iniquity. And when you go to Proverbs chapter 6, and verse 16, there are seven things that it says of the Lord that he hates. And one of it, of course, is a proud look. You know, I'm better than everybody else. He hates it. He hates it completely. But one thing he said in Revelation chapter 3. I hate the works of the Nicolaitans. He doesn't hate the Nicolaitans. But I hate the works of the Nicolaitans. What was the works of the Nicolaitans? This was a group that we learned that they like to have reign over the people. They like to have rule over the people. They want to be the ones to tell the people what to do, what to say, if you can pray, if you cannot pray, if, it depends upon one man. And the Lord says, listen, that's not the system that I'm going to give a blessing upon. Because it's taking from me. It's taking from the Spirit of God. He says, I hate it. So dear brethren, I trust that gathered to the name of Christ, it entails all these different truths that we have spoken. That you have the right as a priest to express yourself, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But the Apostle Paul guides us and helps us. He says, don't give a ground for the flesh, because there is a liberty. There is liberty? Thank God. But that liberty, listen to this. I know we are living in a time where people like to talk about freedom. And we're liberated. Wonderful as it is, because God is the one who liberates souls. But this liberty we have as Christians is governed by the Spirit of God. So may the Lord help us to enjoy this wonderful privilege that I am one that's going to stand firm on the ground of gathering to His name. Give Him what's rightfully His, and give Him His rightful place in the midst of the company. It means He's the center of attraction. No one will take the place of the Lord Jesus. And for your own study, every time you read of the Lord Jesus in different occasions, He was always in the midst. Even when He started from 12 years old, you know where they found Him? They found Him in the synagogue, in the where? In the midst. Even as a 12-year-old, He was still the center of attraction. And the last time you read about Him in center, midst where? So in between there were some. Even Calvary, He was in the midst of two malefactors. But when you go to the book of Revelation, He is in the midst of the 24 elders and the midst of the throne. Give Him His rightful place in your life. And never give up this wonderful truth of gathered to His blessed name. May it be so, for His name's sake.